One of the soldiers with a spear opened his side, and immediately there came out blood and water. These words are taken from the Gospel of the Feast of the Sacred Heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At the top of Mount Calvary, after a long and painful passion, the side of our Lord and the Sacred Heart of our Savior were opened up. Even though his heart was opened a long time ago now, divine providence waited and saved the devotion to the Sacred Heart for a later time and for our days and what's called the latter days. One of the greatest apostles of the devotion to the Sacred Heart was Father Matteo, who died only in the year 1960. And in one of Father Matteo's excellent books, this one is called Jesus, King of Love, which is all about Christ the King and the Sacred Heart, Father Matteo relates that there is a certain church that has a magnificent life-size crucifix, which hangs behind the place where the penitent kneels during confession. So the penitent can see it right behind him, and Father as well, during confession. And one day, a certain sinner approached this confessional. Because this sinner confessed that he did not even try to avoid the occasions of sin, but voluntarily led himself into sin, the priest hesitated a moment to give the man absolution. You see, one of the essential requirements or obligations for the priest is for the penitent to be resolved to avoid sin in the future. It is that evidence of contrition and sorrow for sin. Can we really be sorry and have contrition if we don't even care enough to avoid it in the future? And so in this story, the priest was not sure if this man was resolved. But on account of the man's contrition, Father said, "I will absolve you, but strive to be more careful not to endanger yourself in the future." Not many days later, that same penitent returned to that same confessional. "I have struggled, Father," the man said, "but I have fallen into all the same crimes, and I come at once to reconcile myself with God." The holy priest said, "I must tell you, I cannot give you absolution if you do not even try to avoid sin." "I know, Father," answered the penitent, "but I can be forgetful. Please have pity on me." And so trying to truly help this soul as a good father, and at the same time with all justice, with hesitation, the priest did give the man absolution, encouraging him to detach himself from the traps that lead him into sin, and warning him of those dangers. The penitent was sorry for his sins, but he didn't seem to have any resolution to avoid those dangers of sin, and that was the real problem. But not too long afterward, that same man approached his confessor again. Again, he confessed that he let himself wander into sin and fell into those same crimes. The father answered, "I cannot give you absolution. You may say you are sorry now, but what about tomorrow? What about tonight? Or in a couple hours, will you voluntarily again lead yourself into sin? Are you firmly resolved not to offend God?" In vain, the man explained that he would be more careful in the future now. "I want to be good," he said, "but it is difficult sometimes." And at that very moment, a sigh was heard. It was a deep sigh of compassion. But it was not the priest who had made this sigh, nor was it the penitent. Both the penitent and Father looked to the large crucifix that was hanging behind the confessional. And what did they see? Our Lord on the crucifix began to move. The sacred heart of the crucified Savior was heaving with pain on the cross, and his eyes were full of tears. His right hand, which had been nailed to the crossbeam on the cross, became unnailed, and making the sign of the cross toward the penitent, like Father does during confession, our Lord sorrowfully and compassionately said, "I myself will forgive thee, for I have poured out all my blood for thy soul." Now, my dear faithful, that pouring out of every drop of our Lord's most precious blood was accomplished on Calvary, on that first Good Friday. As the Gospel of the Feast of the Sacred Heart tells us, it was when one of the soldiers with a lance opened his side and pierced his Sacred Heart that immediately there came out blood and water. In today's ceremonies, the Passion is first chanted when we follow our Lord along to Calvary, step by step. The crucifix will then be unveiled as Father sings, "Ecce lignum crucis," behold the wood of the cross, which will become the instrument of our salvation and redemption by the death of our Lord. But from the beginning of the Passion of our Lord would be betrayed, arrested, falsely accused, condemned, beaten, scourged, cursed at, and crucified. And after all these things, that is when a soldier pierced his side and opened his Sacred Heart. What happened physically, though, that opening, is the perfect symbol of the spiritual truth, that on Calvary, the infinite merits of the cross of Christ were opened up, and that the infinite love of God was so manifestly proven on the cross when the Sacred Heart was opened. Thus, I encourage you, my dear faithful, on this Good Friday, to take advantage of the special graces that are available during this time and to make a good confession. Our Lord gave us this sacrament to cleanse our souls and perfect us. It is by confession that every stain of sin can be cleansed from our soul, and every bit of pride can be obliterated. Every soul that is like an empty vessel can be filled with grace. The crooked life can be straightened out. The rough patches of our mistakes, our faults, our negligences will be ironed out. Confession is a great tool given to us and put in our hands. But there is one problem. One problem is that the devil knows it too. Lucifer knows how effective confession is for our salvation. The devil hates confession. And one of his favorite, his biggest and most effective tools he uses to keep souls from going to confession is shame. Now, while we should have a reasonable shame and contrition for our sins, urging us to confess and remove them, the devil, in reality, incites in us an inordinate or false shame that would prevent us from confessing our sins and that will leave us stuck in the mire of sin. Sometimes the cunning devil will exhale embarrassment into our mind. He will whisper that the priest, Father, will think differently of us if we confess our sins in their bare truth, without changing the wording and making them seem not so bad or without hiding something. However, with regards to the shame and what Father thinks, I will say that perhaps there is nothing that could possibly edify a priest more, nothing that could give more spiritual triumph, especially to our Lord, than to see a soul come back to the Sacred Heart, to hear the words, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been a year. It has been 5 years. It has been 30 years since my last confession." Nothing could be more encouraging than a penitent to humbly confess, "Father, I am a sinner and I want to change that." And nothing is more consoling than to see a prodigal son return to his heavenly Father. Our Lord instituted the sacrament of penance for our good, to help us. When we go into the door of the confessional, we are opening a door into the Sacred Heart, that same one that was open on Calvary on Good Friday. We have access to the most precious blood of our Lord and its infinite cleansing power. Our merciful and loving God wants us to go to confession. Confession is not supposed to be a worrisome thing nor a cause of anxiety. It is supposed to be the sacrament that removes all worry and anxiety. Our Lord then desires that each one of us approach the sacrament of penance, and Lent is the perfect time. Even if we are regular in the confessional, our Lord wants us to ever increase in grace and to use his sacraments better as time goes on. Spiritual writers say the more perfect our contrition and sorrow, the greater will be the amount of punishment remitted to us. As our Lord said to the great sinner, St. Mary Magdalene, "Many sins are forgiven her, for she had loved much." And even if we are already in the state of grace, by confession, we receive an increase in that grace. And the greater the degree of sanctifying grace we possess here, the higher will be our degree of glory hereafter. Hence, the fathers of the church all teach that it is useful for every single soul to go to confession, saint or sinner. Again, I say our Lord wants us to ever increase in grace and to use his sacraments better. We have God's word for it that this is what our Lord wants. This is what he expects, or rather, this is practically what he demands because he loves us and because he wants us to save our soul. Let us then, my dear faithful, make a good confession, and let us be blatantly honest and humbly candid. Let us not disguise or fudge the truth in confession. We don't need to give a whole story with all the unnecessary details, but just enough to confess the sin itself and what kind of sin it is with whatever necessary circumstance, without camouflage, but without worry and with humility. If we have any worries, my dear faithful, confession is embarrassing. If we have any doubts, will God really forgive me? Let us remember why God became a man, why he went through his whole passion, why he died on the cross for us, why his Sacred Heart was opened on Calvary, and the reason why he poured out every drop of his blood. The reason was love for us and the desire to save our souls. And it was that same fervent love that animated our Lord in the story, that made him on the crucifix give yet another proof and teach all of us yet again of how much he cares for our souls. And he again proves his love for us and how far he is willing to go for our sake. As our Savior told the man in the story, looking upon him while he was kneeling in the confessional, while he was there hanging on the crucifix bleeding and dying on Good Friday. As he was speaking to the man, so he also says to us, I myself will forgive thee, for I have poured out all my blood for your soul. Let us, my dear faithful, thank our suffering Savior on this Good Friday, and let us show our gratitude to our Lord by making a good confession. And let us show our love by making reparation to his most sacred heart. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.